This morning, we are gathered to hear the words of Jesus, and I emphasize that they're the words of Jesus, because there are many perspectives about Jesus. Really, if you had to draw a map of kind of what everyone said about Jesus over time, you will find views that are radically different to one another. A lot of ink has been written on the person of Jesus, but we're going to do something maybe a bit different this morning. We're going to look at Jesus in his own words, both on this Good Friday and on Easter Sunday. We want to look at Jesus revealing himself in his own words. And it might surprise you if you're a guest here, you're back to church after a long while, that God longs to reveal himself to us. He always has. In the Old Testament, you see God appearing as a cloud in the tabernacle, being with his people, leading them by day, and as a fire at night. See, Jesus continuing that tradition by wanting us to know who he is. And so in the book of John, Jesus over and over again describes himself with these words, I am. And there's a diagram here that can represent some of the things he describes himself as. He says, I am bread. I satisfy your soul, the deepest hunger part of you. He says, I'm the light. Darkness can't win when I arrive. I'm the vine. You abide in me and fruit will come. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Don't live a life based on lies. The firm foundation of truth is available to you. And this morning, we look at another one of Jesus' I am statements. I am the Good Shepherd, which out of all the references, I would say is the most intimate, the most relational. We're not talking about a grape or a loaf of bread or light. We're talking about a shepherd that has a relationship with his sheep. He is the shepherd. That's the good news. We are the sheep. That is not that flattering. But I put it to you that we need to understand that relationship together this morning. So let's read together from John chapter 12, verse 11 to 18. The whole chapter really is about Jesus' metaphor, so go and read it when you get home. But we're going to jump in at verse 11. Jesus speaking says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is God's word to us this morning. For a bit of context up until this point, Jesus and the religious leaders were not getting on that well with one another up until this point. Jesus chooses as his first miracle to turn water into wine at a wedding. He then sees leaders catching a woman in adultery and using his kind of skillful arguments eventually gets them to a place where they're dropping their stones going, oh my gosh, I can't cast the first stone because I'm not free of sin myself. Jesus at one point says, come drink from me and you'll never have to drink again. I have eternal water for you. You will find people listening to that going, who is he to make those kind of claims? And right now, we're seeing another notch of discomfort come upon the religious leaders as Jesus uses the phrase, I am. And we might miss it. So quickly, let me look at the phrase. Jesus could have said, Imi, the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. That would have been the normal word. But he actually says, ego, Imi. Why does he say that? Because in English now, he's saying, I am the good shepherd. Why is he using this particular phrase? The reason is he is going back to Moses, the original shepherd of Egypt, who saw a burning bush and was commissioned to go and liberate the people of God from Egypt. And Moses said, well, before I go, who is it? Who is it that I'm representing? And God, speaking from the bush, says, I am that I am. I am Yahweh. I am that I am. And so when Jesus says, ego, Imi, what he is drawing a straight line towards is not just that he's a good shepherd, but that he is the God who reveals himself as a good shepherd. A God who no longer speaks through a burning bush or through a cloud by day or a fire by night, but a God who's speaking as a person, Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to look at four things that means for us as Jesus claims to be God and claims to be a good shepherd. The first thing is that Jesus wants us to know that he knows us like a shepherd knows his sheep. We saw it there, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. Now, I suspect that we need to do a little bit of work this morning. This is, again, a participation moment. How many of you grew up around sheep? How many sheep people? Okay, now that is a surprising number of hands. Okay, there's a bit of agriculture going on in Sea Point, yeah? This is good to know. In fact, this whole area, I don't know if you know, but Greenpoint Common and Sea Point was for cows, for dairy, there were sheep. This was kind of on the outskirts of Cape Town back in the day. And so we do have roots, so maybe that's why the hands are as plentiful as they are. Well, now, we have got some experts in the room. So what I'd like you to do, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds to do this, is turn towards some people, find out if they're an expert or not. And I want you to answer this question. What do you think the phrase, the good shepherd? We know what a shepherd is. But what do you think that phrase, the good, means? What would a good shepherd look like? Okay, you got 30 seconds. I'll keep time. Go for it. Talk to the person next to you. What does the good shepherd mean? Shame, Josie. Okay, so I hope some of the sheep experts have been able to share their wisdom. I think if we had to just drop into every conversation as it happened, I think we would hear things like, well, a good shepherd would be wise. Right? They'd make good decisions. They'd be competent. They'd be good at what they did. They would be caring, certainly. When we look at this phrase, we don't just see those words that we'd expect. We also actually see the word good meaning something a lot more comprehensive. Think of the word exquisite. Think of the word beautiful. Think of the word like almost overflowing in goodness. That is how Jesus is describing his shepherd nature. It's comprehensive. It's yes, it's competent. Yes, it's moral. Yes, it's wise. But it's all of those things and more. It's an abundant, overflowing shepherd. And I want to say that what Jesus is teaching is many things, but one of the things he is saying is that there is leadership available unlike any other leadership you've ever seen in your life. A super abundant leadership that's going to lead you by still waters, going to lead you to a table of hospitality in amongst your enemies. There's a leadership that you desperately desire. As you drive along Sea Point, and we're going to see this until May, there are going to be posters of various leaders in various parties crying out to us in 2024, I am your leader. I am your leader. And if you're anything like me, something inside of you goes, I doubt it. I doubt it. I've heard a lot of these things before. And there's a deep, innate cynicism that comes across our hearts on the Atlantic seaboard towards anyone who says, trust me, because we go, no. We form a comfortable cocoon of one where we don't trust anyone else or any sort of leadership. Now, here's the problem with that approach, because that's in my heart and I suspect it's in yours. Here's the problem. We were designed to be led. We long for leadership. We long for clarity around where we're heading. We long to actually receive the gift of leadership, not a distorted version of leadership, but the leadership that brings out the best of everyone who's on the team. But yet, although we long for that, where will we find it? Who could we trust? The tragedy is we don't see a lot of that leadership, and it's not like we can avoid it. Because here's the deal, whether you like it or not, you are going to be led. It's just a question of who is going to lead you. You might be consciously getting led by someone intentionally, or maybe it's going to be subconscious, but you are going to be led. And whoever wins the elections and whoever leads in the marketplace or in your life or in communities makes a massive difference to where we're going to head at. It's not a question of if we're going to have leadership. We're going to have it. It's just whether it's going to be good, whether it's going to be super abundant or not. There are a couple of shepherds that are at work. The one you could call kind of cultural shepherdy. Who's got the loudest voice at the moment? Who's got the most hits on YouTube? Who's the person that's doing the most? I think we're kind of aware of those voices in society. But there's also a whole bunch of shepherding that might be happening without us even knowing about it. There's a whole field called choice architecture. You can read in it. People have won Nobel Prizes for economics by looking at behavioral economics, by looking at things called nudge factors. These little things that are used at a micro level to kind of nudge people in certain directions. It starts quite simply with like school lunches where they go, no, let's not give them sugary things. Let's give them fruit. And you're like, nudge towards health. That's not bad, I suppose. But then the retailers with their sweet aisle just totally undoes all that work, right? As they nudge distraught parents down the final 10 meters of the shopping trip and the corridor of sweets just takes you out. There are some very angry people designing these stores towards parents. But have you also noticed at a, not a micro level, but a slightly bigger level, when something big happens in society, when there's an event of import and people are paying attention, often the leadership isn't a good shepherd. The leadership is get the public relations people in, get the spin going, and let's work out how we can shepherd people through this without truth actually coming out. Have you noticed that tendency, these well-crafted phrases, these ways in which you go, wait, there's shepherding going on here. There's all kinds of spin getting put on this thing, and I'm left going like, I'm not even aware of all these forces. And so there's leadership happening. It's just a question of whether it's good or not. And that's kind of what I call cultural shepherding. Then there's personal shepherding, which is when you click on something and when you consume certain content, it finds out about who you are and slowly but surely curates and sends you down a sort of journey of always hearing from people you like. It's as if you're saying, the algorithm is my shepherd. The algorithm is my shepherd. And finally, besides culture and algorithms, there's the option of religion. And maybe you're coming here today going, well, I'm exploring that side of it. But remember, Jesus, when he arrived, seemed to have some of his harshest words and criticisms towards those that were putting themselves forward as religious leaders. Jesus, in fact, here, is quite clearly referring to them as hired hands, as people that run as soon as there's the first sign of trouble. You're going to leave you to the wolves while they take care of themselves. And Jesus is actually quoting from Ezekiel 34 at this point. Now, I'm going to read it to you just to really make sure you appreciate what Jesus is saying. When he says, I'm the good shepherd, he's comparing himself to the bad shepherds that are available to them, that very much are available to us today. This is Jesus, well, not Jesus, but this is where he would have been quoting from Ezekiel the prophet, chapter 34 from verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Does that sound familiar? Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. That's what bad shepherding looks like. So they're scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. This is bad shepherding. This is what Jesus is drawing a line under the sand of and saying that is a leadership that should not continue, that you were not made for. See, Jesus in verse 12 said it. He said, who's the hired hand, not a shepherd, does not own the sheep? They see the wolf coming, they leave the sheep, flee, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Jesus takes aim at the bad shepherds, and he's come to redefine leadership. Bad shepherds that are all in it for themselves, that create a culture of condemnation and guilt. See, shepherds can lead sheep or they can drive sheep. They can send the dogs. They can keep them in conformity. They can kind of guilt and shame them into religious conformity and religious collusion. And that's what Jesus is saying. Here are people making all these demands on the sheep, but not lifting a finger to help them. Jesus didn't get crucified because he was a nice guy who just was misunderstood. Jesus got crucified because he took aim at bad shepherds and they didn't like it. You see, it's not an option of whether you have a shepherd. It's just whether you have a good shepherd or a bad shepherd. A cultural shepherd, an algorithm as a shepherd, or religious shepherds that have gone bad. Jesus wants us to offer, or he offers us something different. That was the longest point by far, so relax. The second point will be quicker. We need Jesus like sheep need a shepherd. This is the moment where we consider how we fit into this analogy. We know about bad shepherds and good shepherds. Here's the bad news, ladies and gentlemen. We are sheep in this analogy. Sheep are not very smart. Here's the deal with sheep. Most animals, when you let them out into the wild, they either go, woohoo, born free, and they run off, like, finally, or they go home. They're like, this is scary. I don't know what I'm doing, and they find their way home. That's what most animals do. Sheep don't. Sheep don't know what to do. They're just confused by the whole experience. They wander around. Okay, they are not intelligent people. And Jesus said this 2,000 years ago, sheep haven't improved. The analogy still works. Sheep are still clueless. I want to give you an example. Children, tragic, but I got to give you the truth here. 450 Turkish sheep leap to their deaths. Just giving you an example of how unimpressive sheep are. I want to read this to you. I want to read this to you. First, one sheep jumped to its death. Then stunned Turkish shepherds who had left the herd to graze while they had breakfast watched as nearly 1,500 other sheep followed, each leaping off the same cliff, Turkish media reported. Now, I know you're thinking, but it says 450 died and 1,500 jumped. What happened? I will reveal it to you now. In the end, 450 dead animals lay on top of one another in a billowy white pile, the newspaper said. Those who jumped later were saved as the pile got higher and higher and was more cushioned. So there's the mystery repeated. First 450, unfortunately, didn't make it, but they laid down their life for the others. Now, that's not a flattering picture. That's not an encouraging moment. One of us goes and the rest of us just follow. But yet, how much of life does that describe? How quick are we to be influenced and to be moved and to think, this is all there is? And so I'm looking to the left and to the right to figure out how to do life. I don't even think there's a shepherd. If the shepherd's there, he's having breakfast somewhere else. And so I'm just trying to work it out the best I can. So is there hope for sheep like you and me? I think we think there's hope. And here's what most of us say. I will just shepherd myself. It's like there's just too much chaos here. I will shepherd myself. But there's several problems with that approach. If that's the one we've chosen. Firstly, do you know yourself? All the way down to the bottom. And haven't you noticed some things about yourself? Things that you'd be embarrassed or ashamed of? If I had to put them on the screen, all my thoughts that I'd had in the last couple of hours or weeks, wouldn't you be a little bit embarrassed? Have you picked up within yourself certain things that lead to addiction, that lead to things that you're not proud of at all? So to say, I will lead myself, sheesh, are you sure that that's the approach that's going to lead to life and life to the full? You see, there's this myth of autonomy, this myth of being able to be self-sufficient. It doesn't stand up under the true test of pressure. Blind spots are revealed. And so I want to really urge you today, if you had to decide, Paul, I've had so many bad experiences with shepherds, I'm just going to lead myself. Can I urge you that there's a better option? You see, even if you get it all right, and even if you do lead yourself to the heights and the goals of whatever you've achieved, can I say that at the end, when you're the top of the pops, when you're the most successful, when you can say, I'm my own shepherd, at that moment, you will still say, I shall want. I shall want. I have an insatiable want, even as I find myself at the pinnacle. You might do it your way, but you will do so unhappily. Thanks for this depressing picture, Paul. Is there any good news? Yes, there is. Jesus values us even to the point of giving his life for us. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. See, sheep in those days and still among certain cultures are incredibly valuable. You wouldn't say, here's my money at the bank. You would say, here are my sheep. They're cared for, they're tended, they are handed over from one generation to the next. They're central to the health of a community. And yet Jesus is saying, that's what you are to me. You are valuable to me. And so whilst there's bad news that we are sheep that are easily led astray, there is good news in that Jesus is saying, I am your shepherd. I value you. I want to lead you. This is radical good news. And this Good Friday in particular, as we reflect on Jesus Christ, we've got to stop and think about all the people that didn't embrace him as a good shepherd. The Jewish leaders that eventually, after hearing him say, I am enough, Tom said, this guy's going to lead people astray. This is diabolical. And they had him arrested. Pilate, who condemns him and hands him over for crucifixion. His friends, who'd been following him quite loyally up to that time, denying him three times before the rooster crowed. At this point, you'd be looking at a man on the cross thinking, this is absolutely chaotic, absolutely shambolic. How could anything good come from this? And yet precisely at this moment on Good Friday, as the good shepherd laid down his life and received the worst that all of those bad actors could do, all the bad shepherds could do, he received the worst of all of that. At that point, he was declaring victory over the worst that we could do, over our sin, over death itself, and over the enemy. And the incredible thing to bear in mind is that Jesus chose this path. He laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him. He came for this very moment. The Lamb of God chose his assignment. Let's read it together. I want to make sure you get this from verse 17. Jesus saying, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. Sunday's coming. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. I think many people, if they're honest, think Jesus was some marginal character in the first century that did okay, but largely failed, and then people have made much of him afterwards. You know, that's why he's around, and we're still talking about him. It's not at all true. Jesus Christ is the ultimate leader who, instead of asking others to lay down their life for him, lay down his life for others. Jesus Christ is the one who comes into human history, inserts himself, and it's like he jams the cogs of leadership that are all about self and taking care of your own and feeding yourself, and he jams that up, breaks it, and says, there's another leadership. There's another way to do life under my leadership, under the good shepherd. Of course he's kind. Of course he's competent. He's the only one qualified for the job. And here's the incredible thing, sneaking forward into Easter Sunday, he's alive. He rises again. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's enthroned. He's the head of the church. He pours out his spirit and he continues to lead his sheep. He continues to be a voice to those who are lost. And this is my shortest and final point. Jesus gives us what we need, like a shepherd provides for his sheep. It was a little bit earlier in the passage. We didn't read it, but listen to what Jesus said earlier. He said, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus is not a leader who chases with guilt and condemnation, but he's a leader who leads, who goes ahead, who says, follow me in ways of righteousness. Follow me towards love and joy and peace. Follow me as I lay down my life for you and I take it up again and I share that resurrection power and life with you. Jesus was asked by Pilate just before he was crucified, like, what are you doing? What's all going on? This is what Jesus said to him. He said, for this purpose, I was born and came into this world. This is Jesus giving his purpose statement. For this purpose, I was born and I came into this world to bear witness to the truth. to replace lies with truth, lies about what leadership is, lies about self-sufficiency, to replace that with the truth. And he says, everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice. Will you listen to the shepherd's voice this morning? The shepherd who's defeated sin, death, and Satan, who's risen, who's at the right hand of the Father, and who keeps adding to his flock. Did you see that in verse 16? I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This message is going to bust out of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and will go to the ends of the earth in Seapoint 2024 as more and more sheep are added to the flock of the good shepherd. Perhaps this morning that's you. Perhaps this morning you are going to declare, no longer am I going to unintentionally be shaped by cultural voices, by bad shepherds, by myself and this lie of self-sufficiency. I want the good shepherd to lead me. I accept him laying down his life for me. And how you do that is you ask him to be your good shepherd.